This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden. Michelle Martin is off. Just ahead, more than 4,000 housing projects in New Orleans will be demolished. That's 4,000 housing units. Protesters want to know what the city plans to do about affordable housing. We'll find out how other major cities dealt with this issue coming up. But first, last week, protests turned violent in New Orleans after the city council unanimously voted to allow the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development, that's HUD, to tear down four large public housing projects. Police used mace and tasers to keep the crowd from forcing its way into the city council building. The viewing room inside the council chambers was packed, and several protesters had to be pulled out of the building for disrupting the meeting. The four projects were heavily damaged during Hurricane Katrina. But in the pre-Katrina days, these buildings were in disrepair. The city council and HUD say they're taking the opportunity to get rid of the buildings and put up brand-new mixed-income housing. Protesters say the problem before the storm was clear. There isn't enough housing in New Orleans in livable condition. And now the problem is there isn't enough housing, period. And tearing down these blocks will only make the situation worse. We're joined now from New Orleans by Malcolm Suber, a longtime activist and organizer in the city. He also ran for an at-large seat on the city council this fall. Welcome, Malcolm Suber.
Thank you for inviting me.
We're very pleased to have you with us. We want to point out that we had also planned to have with us New Orleans Councilwoman Cynthia Hedge Morrell, but she wasn't available this morning at the last minute, so I hope you won't mind if I push you a wee bit more than I would were she here.
No problem.
Tell me a little bit about this. I think the news of the protest was widely carried around the nation. Obviously, New Orleans needs more housing, but doesn't it also need much more improved public housing than it had before? And wasn't that the plan with the projects, these four buildings? Maybe you'd name them for us.
Okay, well, the problem is this. We in the Stop the Demolition Coalition have never stated that we were opposed to improving the housing stock in New Orleans at CJP, St. Bernard, Lafitte, and Cooper.
And those are the four buildings, each with about 1,000 units in them.
Four apartment complexes, yes, mm-hmm. Each with about 1,000, yes. It's 4,500 units total. And basically the case that we make is that in a time of extreme housing shortage in New Orleans, it makes no sense to destroy perfectly livable units when people want to come back home and indeed are prevented from coming back home because of affordable housing. And so if you're taking out 4,500 more units and you're supposed to be a housing agency, you're not housing people. You're helping with the homeless crisis in the city. We had 6,000 homeless before the storm, and it's more than 12,000 now. We have a situation where the FEMA trailers, people are being put out of the FEMA trailers. The FEMA vouchers are running out, and people are going to come back home, and they're not going to have any place to stay.
According to a story I read, Mr. Suber, in the Times-Picayune, dated about 10 days ago, there were a number, about several hundred units in these complexes that were ready for use, and people weren't moving back into them anyway.
That's propaganda from HUD. Basically, for them to have 300 units ready does not mean that they're available to the public. Because of HUD regulations, they have to go through the person who last occupied the unit and then the other tenants of that development. So for them to say that 300 units are available as if this is private marketing, you could just put an ad in the paper and say that these units are ready, is being dishonest. To be quite frank with you, they are lying about the availability of apartments. And we know hundreds of people who would take them readily if they would open them up.
Let's get a little baseline here.
Straw man. Yes,
okay.
Go ahead.
Let's get a little baseline here. How many people were living in these four apartment units before Katrina, these four high-rise complexes?
There were more than 3,700 families. So, you know, you're talking between 12 and 15,000 people. And
where have they gone?
What do you say?
Where have they gone?
They're scattered all over the country. I mean, you know, they were forced to leave the city of New Orleans at gunpoint. scattered across this country. And basically, this is part of the gentrification program in New Orleans. The developers in this city have always desired these centrally located pieces of property for redevelopment as market rate households. And the city also rids itself of the black majority. So we contend that this whole move is part of the changing of the demographics of the city of New Orleans, trying to restore a white majority city. And we don't go along with that at all. Plus, we make the very basic point that we have been arguing for the recognition of our people as internally displaced persons with the right to return.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole...
Let me just argue with your first point there a bit. That charge of the intention of making New Orleans a white-majority city or dominated in a different sort of racial configuration that had previously been the case is something that has echoed since Katrina. But I might point out that, and I very, very much wish our councilwoman was with us because she's African-American and voted along with a city council that unanimously voted for the teardown. So how do you explain that if you think this is racially motivated?
I explain that by saying that the council people and the mayor are in the pockets of the developers. Developers in the city have always gotten their way. And what the council did to try and have some political cover is they instituted some of the things that we were demanding. For instance, they are now demanding that that HUD come with a plan and a timeline as to when they're going to redevelop. HUD basically only asked the city for a permit to demolish these apartments, and the city administration and the city council tried to dodge even taking a stand. We had to force them to even consider that they had the responsibility as the legislative body in the city to review these demands. And quite frankly, they had not done that. If we had not forced the issue, it would have never gone before the council. So for them to now claim that they understand the public housing crisis, to me, is just not right. It's a cover for them. And I would say that they are in the hands, all of them, of the developers, and they are trying to assist and not allow a lot of the poor black folks who made up the majority of the city to come back to New Orleans.
What about mixed-income housing and mixed-use housing, which has been proposed? It'll be brand-new housing in a couple of years with spots guaranteed for people with low-income backgrounds. What's wrong with that?
Well, first of all, they haven't demonstrated anywhere in the country where mixed-use really works. Basically, what happens is that they get rid of the vast majority of people who were on the public housing rolls. We have we have one here, St. Thomas, where only 10% of the original residents have returned to their community. And so what we have fought for is one-to-one replacement and a guarantee that people who want to come back home can come back home. And to us, that makes sense. Now, this does not say that the city should not be concerned about moving people out of public housing, but what we have said over and over again is we live in a city that is based upon a tourist economy, and the public housing is actually a subsidy to these local capitalist owners, because they don't pay people a living wage. They are not able to afford market-rate housing. And so I don't know where they get the notion that somehow they're going to get people who want to live in a community that is subsidized not recognize that difference.
I would just like to point out here for our listeners that in the next segment of our show we'll be talking about mixed-income housing and where it has and hasn't worked around the country, so that we might push back a bit on your contention that mixed-income housing doesn't work. In fact, in New Orleans alone, isn't the River Gardens project one that has had some success?
No, that's what I was just telling you. We call it St. Thomas, they call it River Gardens.
I see, I'm sorry.
But what they did is they promised the people that they were going to allow folks from the St. Thomas to move back into River Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And that promise has not come into reality. Like I said, only 10% of the people. And so what we're talking about is an 82% reduction of publicly funded housing that will result in this demolition.
And okay, that's what you're saying. 82% of the total units will be lost. As it is...
82% of the total units that were public, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's your contention. As it stands now, this vote has been taken by the city council. The federal decision has been made. What will you do as protesters? There have been talk that some people might lie down in front of the bulldozers. Do you think things will go that far?
I think so. I think people are certainly enraged. What we asked for and the logic of what they did last Thursday would dictate that they at least have granted a moratorium so we could have had more discussion in this community about the total impact. And what we had instead was a rush to judgment and going along with the plans of the developers so that we were not able to explain to the people in this city that this is a scheme by the disaster capitalists to make money off of the suffering of people here in New Orleans.
All right, and we'll have to leave it at that. Thank you very much, Malcolm Suber, for joining us. Malcolm Suber is an activist from New Orleans.